This is my Bible. We're supposed to do that together. I apologize. We're doing that together. It's been a long time, folks. You ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give God a hand of praise? Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. We're going to continue in the series that Pastor James is in on Be Wise. So this will be part three. The story is told of a little boy named Billy. He was in Sunday school. And back in the day, you might remember Sunday school was kind of before church. Like now, you know, we have it during church. But, you know, typically years ago when we were coming up, church was closer to an all-day affair. So you came in, you had Sunday school, you had service, and you probably even had something after service, and you may even had afternoon or evening service. There you go. Sometimes three, exactly. I'm getting some recognition there. Well, this little boy, Billy, was just excited to be in Sunday school class, and the topic that day was lying. And the teacher started out asking the children, what is lying? And, you know, as kids are sometimes, he's so excited, he can, you know, barely, you know, how they say, ooh, ooh, kind of bouncing up off their seats. Well, that was Billy, six-year-old Billy on that day. So she calls on Billy and says, Billy, tell us what lying is, okay? And Billy says, it's an abomination to God and a very present help in time of need. So how many know Billy was only partially correct? God, he may have felt like it was a very present help in time of need, okay, to get himself out of a six-year-old situation. But the reality is, it is God who is a very present help in time of need, amen? And so we're going to stay on the topic of being wise, amen, this morning. Proverbs 4 and 7 in the New King James. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. It says wisdom is the principal thing. We could also say wisdom is the main thing. Amen. Or in the NIV, Proverbs 4 and 7, it says, wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Amen. Wisdom is supreme. So it's supreme. It's principal. It's the main thing. And it's interesting in Scripture that when Solomon asks God for wisdom above everything else, Solomon really ends up receiving everything else, because he desired wisdom, the main thing, the principal thing. So what is wisdom? We're going to give you that definition that Pastor James has been referencing. Amen. Wisdom is a disciplined approach to living, whereby I operate by spiritual principles. And through discernment, I accurately apply both natural knowledge and spiritual knowledge into my situation, bringing forth the perfect will of God. You see that balance there? Natural knowledge and spiritual knowledge working together. So part one of Be Wise, Pastor James' main wisdom nugget a couple weeks ago was always give your best, if you remember. And then part two last week, the main wisdom nugget was choose what? Choose joy. Amen. And today, for part three, we're going to be talking about spending time with God. Wisdom nugget, spend time with God. I was dealing with a particular faith fight, a rather lengthy one, and I was really wasn't seeing the progress that I wanted to see. And how many know sometimes when you're walking by faith, the real challenge is when time passes and you're still not seeing what you want to see, what's going to happen at that point? All right, but that's how we live. The Scripture says that the just live by faith. So in my mind, I was doing everything I needed to do. I was praying. I was doing some things. And, you know, one day I was talking to God about it. And, you know, I was just kind of pleading my case, saying, Lord, you know, I've done everything I can think of. You know, what's going on? And he said, no, you haven't. And I said, yes, I have. Not the wisest decision, right? Argue with the Holy Spirit, right? But he said, no, you really haven't. And that still small voice, all right, spoke to me. And he said, how much time are you spending with me? And see, it's so easy to kind of get caught up in the ritual of doing the daily confessions, doing the prayer, listening to the word, that it kind of becomes like robotic almost, but it's like I'm doing it, but my mind is somewhere else. And when he asked me how much time, I was, well, that put it on a completely different platform. You see, we've got to realize the importance of spending time with God. The thing that's most under attack for the believer is the time that they try to spend with God. What does the enemy oppose the most? All of his tactics, his main goal is to rob you of time spent with God. And there's a reason for that, and we're going to spend time talking about that this morning. So we've got to ask ourselves the question, how much time are we spending in God's presence? Remember the definition of wisdom where it says we are to accurately apply both natural knowledge and spiritual knowledge. So it's not either or, it's really both. The natural stuff and the spiritual stuff. And really, I had gotten to a point where I was doing, kind of going through the motions spiritually. In the natural, I was kind of doing everything I could, you know, but I wasn't spending the time. And how many know the harder the battle, the more time you got to spend? We can't expect, okay, in 5 seconds, a 30-year situation to be reversed. Okay, now God can do it because he's a miracle working God, but we have got to put the time in and have the attitude that says, no matter how long it takes, if I'm willing to wait forever, it won't take that long. Listen, God can do a miracle at any time. All things are possible to those who believe, but I have got to be determined and I have to come up with some kind of boundary that protects my God time. All right, because John 10:10, we know Jesus said the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. But he said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. If the devil can rob you of your time with God, he has gained the upper hand. So today's wisdom nugget is spend time with God. Acts 3:19, this is Peter talking. He says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Powerful. Times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And this is Peter talking here. Peter, who went through different stages. And as I was really thinking about Peter, Peter went through a particular faith journey that included four things. Number one, Peter was a doubter of Christ. Number two, Peter was a disciple of Christ. Number three, Peter was a denier of Christ. And number four, Peter was a defender of Christ. If you were to study his transition, you'd find doubting to disciple, to denier, to ultimately defender. And so when he said times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord, he wasn't speaking from head knowledge. He was speaking from experience. He was speaking from the fact that God had changed his life. Amen. And see, that's why it's so important that we understand that it's not our role to judge people because we don't know what phase they're going through. We really don't know who they are. But more importantly than that, we really don't know who they're going to become. Peter was a wimp before Jesus went to the cross, but Peter was a bold preacher on the day of Pentecost. Amen. So it's important as believers, as I spend time with God, that I don't have a judgmental spirit and put people in categories, because truth be told, you take a snapshot of any of us on the wrong day, we may come across as not so Christian. Hello, somebody. Truth be told, we all need his grace and we all need his mercy. Truth be told, if it had not been for the Lord, we don't know where we would be. Amen. So how much time are we spending in God's presence? Similar to money, time is a unit of measurement that demonstrates value. The gauge to how serious we are about our involvement in something is determined by how much time we are willing to invest. If you want to get to know someone, you spend time with them. I remember when I was interested in my now wife of 18 years. The biggest desire you have is time. I want to spend time with that person. Amen. And she's doing something in the sound booth, but I give God praise for her. Amen. But it was like I couldn't spend enough time with her. We go out to eat. We talk on the phone, stay up late on the phone, get up early, go to breakfast. It was just this, I just want to be with this person. Amen. And see, that's how it needs to be in our walk with God, because we cannot grow in areas that we're not willing to pursue. Walking with God includes a pursuit. And if I'm just happy to be complacent and the way things have always been, they'll just stay that way, I won't really see results. But if I become determined and say, wait a minute, just like Jacob became Israel, I won't let you go until you bless me. Or I'm willing to do whatever I've got to do in order to see the manifestation of God's presence in my life. Amen. I'm willing to change what I need to change. I'm willing to talk to who I need to talk to. I'm willing to rearrange the details of my life, because the most important thing is that I get in his presence. Proverbs 9:10 in the King James, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Amen. I learned many years ago that time spent with God is never wasted. Time spent with God is never wasted time. And really, it sounds so simple. But how much time do we really spend in God's presence? And it hit me hard first. So if it's hitting you hard, that's a good thing. Because God really wants to get the glory out of our lives. In fact, God is determined to get the glory out of our lives. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. I don't hold the keys to my own destiny. God holds the keys to my own destiny. If I have a question mark over some areas of my life, I need to spend more time with God until I get the answer. Amen. If time spent with God is never wasted, the question needs to be asked, how do I spend time with God? How do I do it? There are three main areas. Number one, spend time in prayer. Number two, spend time in the Word of God. And number three, spend time in praise and worship. First, spend time in prayer. Luke 18:1, and King James already quoted it to get out of praying a second time, right? Jesus said, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayer is a cure for fainting. If I pray continuously, I will not faint. And we know from Pastor James that prayer is communication with God and confrontation with the devil. If I stay consistent, I will not faint. If I stay consistent in prayer, I cannot faint. Amen. And that's why our prayer life is so important. We spend time in prayer. What happens? All right, fainting is removed from the equation. Giving up is removed. And see, that's the thing. And we'll see this elsewhere in Scripture. Being weak and being faint has nothing to do with age, has everything to do with strength. All right, the Scripture is very clear about young people can faint. Young people can fall. Has nothing to do with how old you are. It has to do with how determined you are and how strong you are. And we get strong in God's presence. Amen. That's a good place to clap. Amen. One of the things that I did as a young believer years ago was pray the word. And so if you're not sure where do I begin in my prayer life, I encourage you to pray the word. I used to, Psalm 23, that was my psalm. I spent months at Psalm 23. You know, I figured it sounded good, so might as well spend some time there, see what happens, right? And I used to pray that. Lord, I thank you, you're my shepherd, and because of that, I will not want. And so find a scripture and pray it. Find a scripture and declare it. Also, the best prayers are the honest ones. God wants us to be honest in our prayer. Lord, I'm struggling with this. I need your help. I need your wisdom. He already knows it anyway, but the thing is, he wants us to be humble. He's all-knowing. So no use trying to fool him when we go to him in prayer. If we've got issues, he already knows what those issues are. But the good thing about it is, since we all got issues, he also holds a solution to what those issues are. Amen. And anybody can grow as long as they're humble. Nobody is excluded from growing. All it takes is a humble and a willing spirit. Amen? Praise God. So you can never go wrong praying the word, and you can never go wrong praying honestly. So we want to spend time in the word of God in addition to spending time in prayer. That was the first one, spending time in prayer. Secondly, spending time in the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. We're going to read the King James. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. So basically, in a nutshell, what that's saying is there's something in the Word of God for me. That's what that verse is saying. All right. Repeat after me. Say, there is something in the Word of God for me today. Right now, I receive, Lord, what you have for me in your word. And see, this is what's awesome, is that God takes his word and makes us and molds us and changes us into a different person. And that's awesome, because the word ends up being like a mirror. Okay, I see where I'm missing it. But as I spend time in the word, I become the word that I'm focusing on. And that's how you can say the word drives out poverty. The word drives out depression. The word drives out sadness. Amen. See, it's so important that we have the word as the most important place in our life, so we understand what it is. It's not just a magazine. It's not just a biography. It is the eternal, unchanging, everlasting, unmistakable, whatever you want to put in there, it's just daggone amazing. So we've got to settle that fact. Because if you still have in your mind, well, I don't know if this is really God and all these kinds of things, you need to have faith so you can see. That's how Jesus said, blessed are they who believed and yet haven't seen, right? So I've got to, faith allows me to see. Praise God. So we become like who we spend time with. Got to find where I'm at in my notes. I'm all over the place, but that's okay. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 in the Message. Let's look at what it says in the Message. All scripture, my bad, that's right. Every part of scripture, thank you, is God breathed. Every part of scripture is God breathed. Look at that. King James, it says all scripture is given by what? Inspiration. Here in the Message, every part of scripture is God breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. Now, this is awesome. The word is inspired. God breathed. You and I, you know what we are? Inspired. God breathed. Our lives and the word of God come from the same source, God's breath. Let's prove that. Genesis 2 and 7 in the King James. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This is awesome. Scriptures God breathed, but so are you. So if I'm God breathed, that word inspiration, oftentimes we use it really in this culture in the wrong context. You know, I watch in the finals, LeBron James inspired me. No, he didn't. You go try a dunk and land flat on your back, you are not inspired, right? We have a different, really, definition, but literally, it literally translates as God breathed. So if I'm God breathed, that means I'm not an accident. It means I'm not here by coincidence. It means I'm here on purpose for a purpose. It means that God has plans to prosper me and not to harm me, to give me a hope in the future. It means that my identity is in the one who created me. Amen. So we spend time with God in prayer. We spend time with God in the word. And number three, we spend time with God in praise and worship. And really, we do that every Sunday. Hopefully more than just Sunday, but we do that every Sunday. And worship team does a great job, amen, leading us into God's presence. Amen. That's a good place to clap. There are three things we need to know about praise and worship. There's probably a whole lot more, but I'm going to list three. Number one, praise and worship is a lifestyle for the believer. Number two, God gets involved in your praise and worship. And number three, praise and worship is the language of faith. Hebrews 13 and 15 in the King James, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. How often? Continually. Psalms 105 and 4 in the Good News translation, it says, go to the Lord for help and worship him continually. Amen. For the believer, praise and worship is to be a lifestyle, continuous and never seeing. So, and never ceasing, rather. So praise and worship, it is a lifestyle for the believer. Number two, God gets involved in your praise and worship. Psalm 22 and 3 in the King James, it says, but thou art holy, O thou inhabitest the praises of Israel. Amen. And we used to say back in the day, right? We all know this, or a lot of us do, when the blessings go up. Exactly. When the praises go up. Exactly. So the word inhabit means to dwell in. You guys judge my heart. You knew what I meant. We used to say that back in the day, right? Praises go up, blessings come down. That was part of one of our song sets, right? You know, we had those song sets. We always kind of circled around back, and that was one of them. So worship, it invites God's presence. I'm getting my mind off myself and my mind on him. Hebrews 12 and 28 in the NIV, it says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Amen. That's how he deserves to be worshiped, is with reverence and awe. So three things we need to know about praise and worship. Number one, praise and worship is a lifestyle for the believer. Number two, God gets involved in your praise and worship. Number three, praise and worship is the language of faith. And what that means is my choosing to praise and worship God is not based upon my feelings. is not based upon my circumstance. It really is an act of faith because I'm honoring God for who he is in spite of what I'm facing, understanding that as I do that, I am going to see him manifest who he is in my situation. Amen. So it's so easy for us to praise and worship God after we get the manifestation. You know, when things look good, when things feel right, but the scripture says offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Amen. And we're going to be closing in just a few minutes, but as we prepare to close, we've gone over these things, right? How to spend time with God through prayer, through the word of God, through praise and worship. Spending time with God is so important for the believer. Why is it important? Something happens to you. There are at least two things that happen to you that I'm going to highlight. Number one, your strength is renewed. Number two, your witness remains intact. These things happen as you spend time with God. That's why we've got to take that step of faith. So we understand a weary Christian is a vulnerable Christian. You cannot be weary in God's presence. That's why the enemy tries to keep you out of God's presence. Or probably a better way to say that, you cannot remain weary in God's presence. You may experience some emotions of weariness or go through some troubling times, but if I am committed to being in God's presence, I'm never allowing weariness to set in as the final destination. Praise God. So that's why the enemy's chief goal is to stop us from spending time with God. He doesn't want us to be strong and he doesn't want us to be a proper witness. Galatians 6 and 9, in the King James, it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We can't be weary in well-doing. Listen to what happens. What happens to the weary person? The weary person loses motivation to do good deeds. And what happens? Our witness is impaired. Because our witness is connected, according to Scripture, to our good deeds. Matthew 5:16, English Standard Version, Jesus said, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that you may see your, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. How do we let our light shine? Good works. All right? I won't be doing good works if I allow myself to remain weary. When people experience me, they need to experience joy. Amen. You see that connection between good deeds and our witness? Isaiah 40, 28 to 31, that's the last scripture, English Standard Version. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. Would you give God a hand of praise? Amen. What a powerful verse, right? Like, fainting is not based upon age. It's based upon strength from that scripture verse. Amen. And spending time with God, it refreshes you and it renews your strength. I want to encourage you this week, spend more time with God. Amen. This lesson was designed to encourage you. Amen. To spend more time with God. And you'll be glad you did. And it's one of those things, it's kind of like if I go from not exercising to exercising. You know, I hate it to start out, right? But the funny thing is, once my legs are actually moving on the treadmill after about 5 minutes, it's actually not that bad. The real battle was up here, okay? And so how we make progress, let's say you're the person who hasn't been spending much time with God. That's okay. God's not mad at you. This lesson was meant to encourage you. Make a commitment. You know what? This week, I'm going to start with 5 minutes, okay? Well, last week, if you weren't doing anything, that's five more minutes a day than you did last week. So that's something. That's what I had to do with exercising. Okay, a quarter mile is better than no mile, right? Come on, progress, right? You got to start where you are. Don't beat yourself up for where you are, but come up with a plan. And if you're at that point where it's like, you know what? For every day this week, I'll spend 5 minutes with God a day. Five times seven for my mathematicians, 35. That is 35 more minutes you would have spent with God by come next Sunday than you did the previous week. You see that? Does that make sense? And what happens is just like kind of like working out, okay, from what I'm told and from what I'm trying to kind of get into, right? The more you exercise, the more you want to. So your capacity ends up growing. But the biggest thing we got to do is just get started. Amen. Do you receive that today? Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.